Spiritual grandson, that is. Amen. Take your Bibles, look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Hallelujah. Man, the Lord's good. We're going to look at a bunch of scripture today. We're going through Philippians here, just chapter 1. And this is the only church that Paul doesn't rebuke or tell there's something wrong with it. And they believe what he preached. They passed the message down to others. They supported him financially. They supported him verbally before his enemies. Every pastor needs somebody like that. Amen. And they had fruit to show. They had joy. They brought joy to the brother Paul. And Paul's writing this from prison, folks. He's writing this from prison. And Paul talks about, being in prison. And he appealed to Caesar. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll find Paul's heading for Rome. And he ends up heading for Rome. And then because in chapter 26, he gives his testimony before King Agrippa. And Festus, the governor and all. And King Agrippa says aside, he said, this man hasn't done anything worthy for jail. He said, if he didn't appeal to Caesar, I'd let him go. But the reason why he appealed to Caesar, because God told him he was going to have to preach before kings and princes and all that stuff. So he ends up appealing, going to Rome, and he ends up taking the word of God to Rome. And that's where you got the book of Romans. You have one of the greatest books in the Bible, and the book of Romans. And the Bible even tells us in the book of Romans that some of Caesar's household got saved. I mean, everybody in Rome knew who Paul was, and they knew why he was there. They knew exactly why this guy came. And Paul being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he was on the road to Damascus, on the road to Damascus letters, and he was going to go take Christians prisoner. And Paul ended up holding the coach for those that stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And Paul, if you read your Bible, you'll say, man, I mean, God saved some of the worst, and God does something in people's lives. And Paul was a righteous man in the sense of, by the law, he obeyed the law, but he was also, he held the coat of those, and he went and prosecuted people to every city he could to cost the name of Christ. He hated Jesus Christ. And so Paul is writing to this Philippian church, and he's telling them, and verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And he's writing, he's a man. And I talked about that last week. Man, it's a blessing to remember people that love God and serve God and still doing it. Amen. I've got brothers and sisters all over this land that I thank God. And when I think about their name, when I think about them, I think, what a blessing they are. What a blessing. But I know there are some Christians, man, when I think about their name, I think, God, have mercy. They sure made a mess of things. And they'll make a mess. But you say, while they're still breathing, they still got a chance to get things right. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I mean, make the memory of your life worthwhile. Amen. Make it a blessing to somebody. I mean, be a blessing to somebody, especially your family. You want your family to miss you. You want your family to say, oh, man, we don't know how we're going to go on, but we're going to go on by God's help. He says, also every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. And he's saying, man, I'm praying for you. And I got joy in my heart for you. And the Bible says over in Nehemiah, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you don't have any joy in here this morning, if you're trying to find joy in other things, you'll never find complete joy. You'll never find joy that's satisfied. And we talked about that last week. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and what? Joy. Joy. Joy is Jesus first, others second, and you last. That's what joy is. And he says, always in every prayer of mine for you, always making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. Now, we covered the thing about the gospel the other night. We're going through Revelation. You'll find in Revelation, this angel comes down and proclaims the everlasting gospel. But we have the gospel of the grace of God, and Paul calls it my gospel. And he says, for the fellowship in the gospel. You know what? The reason why we're all in this same room today is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, why we can all get along? I mean, man, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to see the gospel go out to all the world. We want to see the gospel. Why? It's good news. It's good news. Anybody hears it and they understand it, I mean, they'll get saved. I mean, Muslims have gotten saved. I've got a good friend of mine. He's over in Ukraine, Romania, and he deals with a lot of Muslims. And he says he deals with a lot of them, and they get saved. And when they hear the good news of the gospel, man, they have a choice. You go follow Allah and Muhammad and killing and murder and hatred, or do you follow the good news of Jesus Christ that saves the soul from hell and gives you joy and peace and happiness within, amen? And that joy, and the Bible says the love and peace is inside of us. And then it says this, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, this Bible says, Paul wrote down, he says, being confident. He says, this is something I know for sure. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Lord's always working. He's always working, and he's always trying to work in your life. And the only one that can hinder him working in your life is you. The only one. You think about this. No outside sources. Nobody. I've had people say, well, you know why I don't serve God no more? Because of so-and-so. Your Bible tells you, Paul saying, look over in Galatians chapter 5. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Look what he says to the Galatian church and to the Galatians. He said in Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse, chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, no, it ain't. That ain't it. Chapter 5, where is it? I'll find it here in a second. There it is. Chapter 2, he says this, to whom do we give place by subjection? No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in confidence addeth nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And then he goes on down, talking about how he rebuked Peter. And he tells you if anybody preaches any other gospel. But over and back to Galatians chapter 5. Go back to Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse, when I'm in a hurry, I'm overlooking things. Bible says in verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. But I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus have circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Look at verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. A little leaven of the whole lump. And he says, I am confident. Look here it again. I'm confident. He says, I am confident in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubled you shall be bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now go back to Philippians chapter 1. He said, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, who hindered you? You know, the biggest problem we have as Christians today is we hinder ourselves. We allow people to get in that space where only God should be in our lives, and we allow them to affect us. And that's why people get out of church. That's why people quit serving God, and they sit on the bench, and they start griping, complaining. They start finding fault with everybody else, and they start blaming everybody else for their problems. That sounds to me like it goes back to the Garden of Eden. Adam blamed his wife. His wife blamed the devil. I mean, you have a choice. And it says, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. The only one that can hinder it is you. You can hinder Jesus Christ working in you. I said last week, I'm trying to rehash everything. I said last week, we sing a song in Sunday school. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, for he's still working on me. But if you're not letting him work on you, that's where the trouble comes. if you're not letting him. How many in this room can say, I'm saved? Raise your hand. Now, we got people sitting in here that come from different backgrounds. I mean, you got folks that never drank, never smoked, never chewed, never ran with those that do. We got some that did drugs and drinking and been fornicators. I've been adulterers. I've been men cursers and cursed God and all kinds of stuff. And the Bible says, once you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ. Amen. When you get saved, you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He's inside you. And you've got, the day you got saved, it started a whole new thing. You become double-minded. Why? Because you got a dual nature. And the old man will say, don't do right, don't go to church, don't pray, don't read your Bible, don't do none of that stuff. And the new man said, I want that. I want that stuff. And the one you feed is the one that's going to get the strongest. You got to let the Lord work in you. And that's why you come to church. I believe this. I believe a child of God, if you're wanting the Lord to work in your life, you ought to be in church every time the door's open. Amen? Yeah, man. Amen. I mean, you ought to have a hunger for it. Yeah. There ought to be a hunger. I mean, what happens is this world steals away your love. And the Bible says, I got something against you. Over in the, he talked to the church of Ephesus because you left your first love. I've seen people in here in this church used to be on fire for God. I mean, used to love the Lord. And man, anything wasn't too hard. And you're just willing to do whatever it was. Now! What's happened? He's not working on you. He's working on you, but you're not allowing it. You're not allowing him to work in your life. You're not allowing him, I mean, to prune you like a tree. The Bible says every tree that bringeth good fruit, he dungs that thing. He gives it what it needs, the nutrients that it has need. And God gives that. But a tree that doesn't produce fruit, he'll say, cut it down. Cut it down. Now, folks, the Bible says this. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at this. We're going to look at a lot of scripture here this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 10. I want you to keep in mind, he which hath begun a good work in you, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord will never stop until it comes to a time where he says, okay, that's it. That's it. And he'll take a child of God home. That's it. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at this. Look what the Bible says. It says, fear not him, verse 28, fear not them that kill the body, Jesus talking, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, we know we're saved. We're not going to go to hell. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them that are fall on, and one should not fall on the ground without your father? I walked the other day. I walked by in the backwoods there. There was a couple little birds on the ground that's dead. Said, I looked down at that, and there was a snake going across. It was a big old black snake, about 4 or 5 foot. And that black snake went up in that tree. We watched that black snake up in that tree. And I thought about that snake's after them birds, after them eggs. And that snake goes up there, and we watched it. And my daughter, Becky, took a video of it, sent it to Clinton. And man, that thing 4 or 5 foot. And I told Jordan, I said, that thing's been in your house. So Jordan said that night, he said to his mama, I said, I'm sleeping in your room tonight, mama. I ain't sleeping by myself. And I shouldn't have scared him. But anyway. Look at verse 30. And look what the Bible says. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. You're sitting in here this morning, you're the most valuable thing in God's kingdom when it comes to the soul, a soul of man. What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? That means a lot. Jesus Christ paid that ultimate price with his own life for your soul. Why? You're more valuable than anything. They got people that you got animal activists. They think that's, you know, if you kill an animal, you ought to go to jail and all that stuff. Now, there's certain, that's some people have crazy, but I'm not for killing animals and doing that stuff. But I mean, you're going to eat it, fine. But some people have crazy and they think animals worth more than the soul of man. A man's worth more than anything. So what? You can't buy it. It says, fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Whosoever there shall confess me before men. Look what it says. Him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. You deny the Lord. Deny the Lord and allow him to work in your life. Denying the Lord to allow him to be able to be first in your life. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things that you have need of, the things that we go after, and God gives it to you. God's taken care of me. God's blessed me. I mean, I didn't even pray about things. God turned around and gave it to me. I mean, you know, God knows what you have need of. And we go after them things and we'll deny the Lord in the meantime. He says, being confident in this very thing, he which have begun a good work in you will perform it today, Jesus Christ. You've got to let him work in you. Or you're going to allow your world work in your life. And when the world works in your life, it takes you away from him. Jesus said, if a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you, all that's in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So you allow that to work in your life, the love of the Father is not there. The things that the Father loves. See, when God's working in your life, you'll love things that he loves. You'll judge yourself according to the way you ought to judge yourself. Rather than most people that are backslidden, they always point their finger at everybody else. They judge everybody else, but they don't judge themselves when they're backslidden. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. So that's a great verse on eternal security. He's going to work on you to the day you die. And it's up to you whether you're going to let him work. Now, look on down, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30. The very hair of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not, that doesn't say you're going to go to hell. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. Look what Jesus said. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword, man. You know why? He's going to tell you why. When I got saved, my family thought I went off the deep end. And man, I was into everything, drugs, gang, end up in jail all the time, drinking, carrying on. And when I got saved, God started working on me. And he started telling me, quit that stuff. And I couldn't read or write. Most of y'all got a big advantage on me because you can read and write. I couldn't read or write. I wanted to know what God said. Like I said last week, I wanted to know what God said. I didn't want to take the preacher's word for it. I wanted to get closer to him. My brother was killed. My other brother got life in prison. My family was shot to hell. I wanted to know something. I wanted to know some truth. I wanted to know what was right. And you all been sitting in church all your life, most of you, half your life. You know what's right, and you don't do it. One thing bothers me more than anything, I pray all the time, walking around praying. I pray for people. I say, Lord, I don't understand why people go astray. I don't understand why people don't want to live for you. I mean, I realize the world's powerful, but it all depends on who you hang around with, what you're going to become. You ever notice your kids get around certain kids, they start talking like it, acting like them. You get around the world, you start talking like it, acting like it. You start living like it. You start getting around God, and about Jesus Christ, the Word of God, you start living like him. You start reminding people of Jesus. Amen. I told you, little Philip used to come to our house years ago. He was always having fun at my house, little Phil. And he would always say, I'm going to Jesus' house. I'm going to Jesus' house today. One day I rebuked him. I said, boy, I'm going to whoop your hind end if you don't straighten up. He told his mother the next day, he said, I don't want to go to Jesus' house no more. He's mean. And I ain't going there no more. Look at verse 33. Whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, but I came not to send peace, but a sword. Look, he's going to tell you what it is. He said, I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You said, what is Jesus doing this for? Because when you make a choice that you're going to serve him, it causes division. How many of y'all Catholic background, used to be Catholic background, raise your hand. You know what that does? It causes division. I mean, my family was all Methodist. And the Methodist preachers never told us that about Jesus Christ. It caused division. Whenever you get saved and you start living for God, it's going to cause division. Your family is going to say, well, you weren't Baptist. I tell people all the time, the Baptist church can't save you. I'm not trusting the Baptist church as far as I can get to heaven, as far as I can kick this building. I'm not trusting the Baptist to get me to heaven. I mean, I thank God for Bible-believing Baptists. Why? Because we open the Bible. Look what he says. He said, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. I've seen folks where people get saved, get right with God, their wives don't want to do right. I've seen guys, women get right with God, and their husbands don't want to do right. And it causes variance. It causes a fight in the house. And then it's a choice whether how you're going to raise your kids. You're going to raise your kids for the Lord, or you're going to raise them for the world. There's a variance. Jesus said, I've come to bring a sword. You got to make up your mind. Are you going to let him work in you? Or are you going to let the world work on you? And the Bible tells you what the world's going to do to you. It already tells you. It already tells you where you're going to end up. I know, you know, folks, I don't have to wait to the end of your life or even down. I know how it's going to end. I already know. I can predict it. I hate it, but I can predict it. Look what it says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. A man's foes are they of his own household. When I got saved, my father used to say to me, he said, you don't love your family. You don't care about your children, your mother and me. You don't, all you care is about that church down there. All you care about is going to church. All you care about is seeing, talking about God. My father used to say that to me. My father, I used to get in his face. We'd be arguing with each other and man screaming at each other. I found out that wasn't the way to do it. And then finally, I wept over him. I grabbed my dad. I said, Dad, I don't want you to go to hell. Don't go to hell. He said, boy, you're going crazy. He said, you're going crazy. I said, no, Dad, hell's real. My dad watched me. And I'm going to tell you something. You say you're saved and you say you love God. Your family's watching you. My dad got saved. My mother got saved. My brother in prison got saved. My sister got saved. I mean, God started moving through our family because it was real.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Maybe nobody's getting saved in your family because it ain't real to you yet. Being confident of this very thing. Paul saying to the church of Philippi, being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you. He wants to work in you. He wants to do something in your life. You can't use no excuse. You can't blame your parents for the way you were raised. I was raised the same way. What people try to do is they try to use their parents and say, well, I tell people, hey, if you're 18, you're an adult, you can't use your parents as an adult excuse anymore.
Yeah. Right.
You can make decisions. I made a decision. God helping me. My wife and I made a decision. When we got married, we said, we're not going to sleep around no more. We're not going to do this stuff no more. We're going to do what's right.
Amen. Yeah.
We got married. We wanted to raise our kids for God. We kept saying, Lord, work on us. A little boy prayed, and he said, he was praying. Somebody walked by, heard him praying. A little boy saying, Lord, make a good work of me. Lord, make a good work of me. Lord, make a good work of me. We're just like that little child. Lord, make a good work of me. He wants to make a good work of you. He wants you to represent him. The Bible tells us, Paul says, we're an ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Look on down, look what it says in verse 37. He that loveth father, you know what I've seen hinder a lot of people? Their family. And you'll put your family before the Lord. You'll put your family's activities or whatever it is before God. And those things right there will hinder you. So while we're supposed to love our family, I do love my family. But I'm not going to let the family stop me from putting him first. The Bible says this. One of the first commandments, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. It says him first. And what happens to a lot of people, they put their family first. See, the right aspect for me as a Christian, as a child of God, and for my wife, is not putting me or her first. I put him first. And then she comes second. Amen. And my children. That's what Jesus taught us. He says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not what? He that findeth his life shall what? He that loses his life shall. He said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth the righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink on the one of these little ones, a cup of water, cold water, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. Now, the Bible says this, go to the book of Jude. It's not like the Beatles sang. It's book of Jude. It's right before Revelation. Look what it says. I'm trying to give you something this morning that'll help you grow and desire to grow. Folks, I'm supposed to be growing on a daily basis. If I'm not growing, I'm retreating or repressing. I should be growing on a daily basis. I should be growing and getting to be a better preacher, better pastor, a better Christian in my life. It shouldn't go opposite. I've seen Christians get saved, people get saved, and they go in the opposite direction. That should not be. If you're going in the opposite direction, away from what you ought to be as a Christian, you're going in the wrong direction. Stop! Turn around. Being confident. I'm gonna keep saying this word verse. Being confident. Being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. God wants to work in your life. Faith Baptist Church is put here, number one, to propagate the gospel, to put the word of God out, to edify the saints, to build you up, to get you stronger, not to cause where we get in here and everybody has some quarrel against each other. It's to forget that stuff.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. It's to grow, get closer to him and love him. Amen. That's where, look what the Bible says, Jude, verse 20. Look what the Bible says. Here it is. Being confident of this very thing, which he hath begun a good work, and you will perform the day of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20 of Jude. There's only one chapter. One chapter in the book of Jude. He said, but ye, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Look what it says. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Say, what is that? Is that speaking in tongues? No. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I want you to have your way in my life. I want you to fill me with your spirit so I can be able to live for you. So I can tell other people about you. So people can see Jesus Christ in me. I want Jesus Christ to shine through me. Where we've gotten away from that. We want to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. I mean, everything. We ought to be different. We ought to walk different. Talk different. I mean, Lord wants to work in your life. I'm not saying we become like Amish. Wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. The Amish, they're doing pretty good. No, but the Amish are not saved. He says, look what it says in Jude chapter verse 20. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself. Look what it says. You know what? How many of you men in here, and men and women been married over 10 years? Raise your hand. You know what you got to do? You got to keep in love with your wife. And she's got to keep in love with you. So how do you do that? Because you know what? You get on each other's nerves. Can you ladies say amen? Amen. Somebody just told me, Miss Sarah just told me. She said, I just retired. She said, pray Rick continues working because if he stays at home, we're going to kill each other. And I would love to go down and referee. No, I wouldn't know. I'd be down there, no, Rick, Sarah, no. You got to keep yourself in love with one another. You got to do things for each other. Talk to each other. I make my wife laugh no matter if she's mad. I can make her laugh. And she just looks at, she'll look away from me. She said, you're so stupid. I just kidding. She's so stupid. I act stupid to make her laugh. That shows you her mentality. No, I'm just... Let me move on here. I need a drink on that. See, I made her laugh right there. Keep yourself in the love of God. How do you keep in love with God? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my what? And my words. If you love me. What you do is you get down and thank him. You start serving him. And he gives you handfuls on purpose. It's just like getting your wife things just on purpose. She gets you things on purpose. You're just doing, obeying him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some having compassion, making a difference. You know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to have compassion. Well, I found this day and time, people lose their compassion for each other. They lose their compassion for the Lord. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him, look what verse 24 says. Now unto him that is able to keep you from what? There it is. There it is, man. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. So I'm going to fall anyway. I might as well stay down here. That's a stupid mentality. I'm just going to fall. I'm just going to stay down here. That way I don't get hurt. No, man. Get back up. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He wants to work in your life, but you hinder him. You were once on fire. You were once going for God, once wanting to see people saved. Now you care less. Careless. Walk by people, let them go to hell. You know what? But when your daddy... Miss Jones' daddy got sick. She wanted to see her daddy saved. And she started praying. She started seeking God. Her brother is not saved yet. But God's going to do something in her family. Amen. She's standing up here this morning crying, worshiping God. Her daddy just got buried. Daddy just died. God's working in her life and her family's life. Why? She's been asking God to do it. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Remember Paul talking about that joy? Jesus Christ wants to present you to the Father and say, Father, these are the ones I died for. These are the ones that I love, and I died for. I want to present them to you. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. We see people, man, fall by the wayside. I mean, I realize, folks, I don't get mad at people when they fall by the wayside. You know why? I know that they're in a battle. I know that the world's after them. I know the flesh is strong. And I mean, folks, people start telling me how hard it is to live for God. I know how hard it is. I mean, man, I know. Dealing drugs. Doing drugs, drinking, partying, all the time. All I lived for was to party and get high. I know how hard it is. But being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. This young man that just passed away, Dylan, I've known him ever since a little boy. And Jesse said to me this morning, he says, man, if that boy would only listen to you. I don't know how many times he called me. His mama called me about him. If he only listened. 25 years old. Wasted life. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. The Lord wants to work in your life. He wants to do something. Look at verse 7. even as is meet for me to think this of you all, I'm going to have to hurry, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I mean, man, his emotions were connected. I mean, they were just, he was affected. The actions of them, in the bowels of Jesus Christ, he was affected by it. He said, for God is my record, how greatly I longed after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. For this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Now, look what he says, in judgment, in all judgment. He said, I want you to grow. I want your love become and love knowledge and love the word of God. And he says, in all judgment. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to judge ourselves. It tells us that if we judge ourselves, that's why I say this thing back a while back, people start talking about, you don't have to confess your sins. That's crazy. Yeah. That's from hell. To get you to be damned by physically by God. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, Brother Joe started out on this verse. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times. No, that's not it. Let me read it to you real quick. It'll pop in my mind. And Romans chapter 8, and look what it says at verse 1. It says, therefore now there is now no condemnation that are in Christ, them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh but after spirit. The devil knows he can't get your soul. If he can't get your soul, the next best thing is get your life. And screw your life up. And the Lord, when you got saved, God wants to straighten out your life. He said, if you'll let me be in confidence of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord's saying, okay, yield to me. Yield to me. And I'll make your life straightened out. Yield to me. The Bible tells us, yield our members as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteous. The Lord's saying, yield. Present your bodies as living sacrifice. The devil over here saying, you ain't going to let nobody tell you what to do. You're your own man. Come on. Forget this Jesus Christ thing. It's all a bunch of hoax. Everybody's a hypocrite. Everybody ain't doing right. That's good. That's what the devil will tell you. Right. Yes, you know how many young people use that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no excuse when you stand before God. No excuse. And there's young people trying to use George's death still. I say, well, that's why I don't serve God, because the God took George. No, George is in heaven rejoicing, man.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't use George's death to use it for excuse.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Anybody's death. Well, I've talked to people, they say, God took my grandmother. God took my daddy. God took this. God took that. You'll use anything you can to hold on that flesh.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Yeah. Go ahead.
My brother was killed in 1972 at 18 years old. I went outside and said, you blankety blank God, were you up there? And you know what God did? He had mercy on me.
Amen.
I said, you blankety blank if I could drag you out of heaven. And God had mercy on me. People use somebody's death to do wrong. And that person's in heaven, they're going, they're up there, what in the world's the matter with them? Them idiots. Don't use me. Being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord took my mama, took my dad, took my brother. I mean, I preached over 200 some funerals. Took all these people. You think I'm going to use that? It makes me fired up more. I don't want to live for God.
Amen.
Amen.
Pop-Up Sage told me this. When we had a problem, we had a situation that happened, and George was connected with it. And we had a problem, and Pop-Up told me this. He got out of church for about a month, him and Mama. I went over to see him, and I said, Pop-Up, what's going on? And I talked to him, and I reasoned with him. And Pop-Up got up on a Sunday morning, just before he died. He got up on a Sunday morning, and he told his Mama, he said, I'm going to church. And he goes, you going to go? She said, I'm not going. He said, well, I got to go. He said, I got to go. And I want to honor God. I'm not going to live like this. The Lord took him home later on. I don't understand it all. I don't understand it. But I know Papa made up his mind he was going to go to church and he was going to honor God. He said, where is he at? You feel sorry for him? No, man, he's with the Lord, man. He'd never have to suffer again. He's with the Lord. Look what it says. He says, this I pray you that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Be sincere, without offense. Being filled with the what? Fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. By praise Jesus Christ and unto the glory and praise of God. But I would that ye understand, brethren, this is Paul's enemies he's talking about. He said, man, Paul had literally charity towards his enemies. He prayed for his enemies. And I would that ye understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, in all other places. You see what he said? He said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Whose palace is that? Caesar's palace, not the one over in New Jersey. It is over in Rome. It says, in the palace, in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He's saying, even though I'm in jail, and I'm still putting the word of God out, and I'm not bowing down, I'm not backing up, I'm not quitting, I'm not turning my back on God, even though I'm in bonds, he said, it makes the brethren more stronger. Let me tell you something. You stand for God no matter what you're going through. Amen. God will use it. He'll use it to see other people in your family come to know God. How many of y'all want to see your family saved? Raise your hand. Amen. Stand for God.
Yeah.
Don't back up. Paul said, these bonds I have, he said, everybody in the palace knows. People getting saved. You know what? You and I got saved as a result of the word of God that Paul wrote down. And many of the brethren, look what it says, verse 14, we have to close this. Many of the brethren, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. But one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I thereon do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, not his salvation going to heaven, through your prayers and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's saying, man, it's going to add to the things in my life that God's going to bless. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And Paul made a great statement. Look at verse 21. This is where we'll stop. He made a great statement. He said, Christ is going to be magnified whether I live or I die. He says, verse 21, for to me to live is what? Can you say that? Can you say that? Paul said it. For me to live is Christ. Can every Christian in this room, can you say, for me to live is Christ? If you can't, there's something wrong. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why? You're going to heaven if you're saved. And to die is gain. Everybody down here be mourning and crying, but up in heaven you'll be rejoicing and running the streets of gold.
Amen. Amen.
Can you say, for me to live is Christ? It ought to be. People say, well, this Christian life is, you know, I can do it, you know, part-time. It's not a part-time thing. It's a full-time. Being a Christian is not part-time. You say, well, I just want to live it part-time. It doesn't work that way, folks. You're either a Christian. You know what a Christian is? A Christian is Christ-like. Being like Jesus Christ. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you work, being like Jesus Christ. Can you say that? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So that's what you said. No, that's what Paul said. Paul said that. For me to live is Christ. Can we say that? Can we say with all our heart, Lord, I want my life to be in Jesus Christ and Him to have full control of my life. Can you say, Lord, I'm giving it all to you? A little boy came. He said, well, I can't trust the Lord to do that. A little boy brought Jesus his lunch and said, Lord, here you can have it. And that little boy watched those disciples take up 12 baskets after feeding 5,000 plus women and children. Your life, if you give it to God, He'll use it, and you'll have more abundantly than you can even imagine. Jesus said, I come to give you life, and life more abundant. Is it here? Is it with motorhomes and all that? No. It's in there. And be able to have peace and joy and comfort. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you're here today, you're not saved. You can't say that because you're not even saved. But you can say it if you get saved. For me to live is Christ. We've seen a lot of people fall by the wayside, not live for God anymore. Don't raise their kids no more for God. God have mercy. I don't want to ever picture myself in that position. I never want to picture my children in that position. I don't want to be that way. I want to be able to say all the way to the day I die, for me to live is Christ. Amen. And die is gain. Amen. Lift our heads. Father, I pray, God, Lord, use the message for your glory and honor this morning. Thank you for the word of God. I pray.